Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Yom Rav Avram Goldhar and today we're Zechus Yevamos Daf Tzadik Gimel, the 10th Perek Isha Rabba. So the three Dafs are going to focus on number one. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak listed a number of Amoraim and Tanaim who held based on a chain of tradition that goes back to the generation of Rabbi Akiva that Adam Makne Davar Shol Bo Olam. A person contrasts with something that has not yet come into the world. The Gemara proceeds to tell where each one stated his ruling. Rav Huna ruled in the following case: Hamokar Peres Dekel Chaveru. If someone sells the future produce of a date palm to his friend, which Rashi explains is a case where the person made a kinyan during the rainy season in order to acquire the fruit that will emerge in the spring. Rav Huna said, before the produce comes into existence, the seller can withdraw from the sale. This is because even though one can transfer something not yet in existence, the transfer doesn't take effect until the item actually exists. But when it comes into existence, he can no longer withdraw because the sale has taken effect. Rav Nachman disagreed and said, even after the item came to existence, he can withdraw because he holds, a person cannot transfer something that has not yet come into the world. Pointing to the Gemara brings an incident to show that Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Chia both hold that Adam Makne Davar Shel Bo Olam. Rabbi Yana had an aris, a sharecropper, who would bring him a basket of fruit every Erev Shabbos. One day the sharecropper was delayed and didn't come at the usual time. Rabbi Yana, who was concerned that the sharecropper might not arrive before Shabbos, took fruit from his house as meiser for the fruit that would arrive on Shabbos. He later went and asked Rabbi Chia if he had acted properly, and Rabbi Chia said that he had. For it was taught in the Brice, the Pasuk states regarding the mitzvah to separate Maestros L'man Tilmad L'yir Seshem Al Kelcho Kol Hayamim, in order that you come to learn to fear Hashem your God all the days. Eilu Shabbasos V'yamin Tovim. These days are Shabbasim and Yamin Tovim. Rashi explains that one learns that he should be careful that one's own Shabbos should not be batal because of the Isser of eating Tevel. Rather, one should make sure to Maestro the produce. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Chia intended to teach. It cannot be to permit one to tithe produce on Shabbos and Yantiv and then eat it, for Pasuk is not needed to permit moving untithed produce on Shabbos, which is only prohibited as in the Rabban. Rather, it was to show Rabbi Yana that it's permitted to take produce as tithes for produce which has not yet arrived. And pointing with Rav Sheshos was asked, Eda Chorbi Yavama Mahu, what's the din regarding the testimony of a single witness concerning a Yavama? Can Yibum be performed based on testimony that her husband is dead? The Gemara presents both sides of the question. Is the reason we believe one witness to allow a woman to remarry based on the principle that people do not lie about any matter that's likely to be revealed? And if so, here too we believe the witness. Or is the reason we believe one witness is Mishum de'i daika minaspa, because she will investigate carefully before she remarries. But here, there are times that she might be attracted to her brother-in-law, and she might not investigate carefully. Rav Sheshos answered that it can be demonstrated from a case in our Mishnah that the testimony of a single witness requiring her to do Yibum would have been believed if it had not been refuted by a set of two witnesses. The Gemara continues on to the next daf discussing this topic. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Nachman and Yitzchak listed a number of Amoraim and Tanaim who held, based on a chain of tradition that goes back to the generation of Rabbi Akiva, that Adam Makne Davar Shel Bo Olam, a person can transfer something that has not yet come into the world. The Gemara proceeds to tell where each one stated his ruling. Rav Huna ruled in the following case, Hamokar Peres Dekel Chaveru. If someone sells the future produce of a date palm to his friend, which Rashi explains is a case where the person made a kinyan during the rainy season in order to acquire the fruit that will emerge in the spring, Rav Huna said, before the produce comes into existence, the seller can withdraw from the sale. This is because even though one can transfer something not yet in existence, the transfer doesn't take effect until the item actually exists. But when it comes into existence, he can no longer withdraw because the sale has taken effect. Rav Nachman disagreed and said, even after the item came to existence, he can withdraw because he holds, a person cannot transfer something that has not yet come into the world. Pointing to the Gemara brings an incident to show that Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Chia both hold that Adam Makne Davar Shel Bo Olam. Rabbi Yana had an aris, a sharecropper, who would bring him a basket of fruit every Erev Shabbos. One day the sharecropper was delayed and didn't come at the usual time. Rabbi Yana, who was concerned that the sharecropper might not arrive before Shabbos, took fruit from his house as meiser for the fruit that would arrive on Shabbos. He later went and asked Rabbi Chia if he had acted properly, and Rabbi Chia said that he had. For it was taught in the Brice, the Pasuk states regarding the mitzvah to separate Maestros L'man Tilmad L'yir Seshem Al Kelcho Kol Hayamim, in order that you come to learn to fear Hashem your God all the days. Eilu Shabbasos V'yamin Tovim. These days are Shabbasim and Yamin Tovim. Rashi explains that one learns that he should be careful that one's own Shabbos should not be batal because of the Isser of eating Tevel. Rather, one should make sure to Maestro the produce. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Chia intended to teach. It cannot be to permit one to tithe produce on Shabbos and Yantiv and then eat it, for Pusuk is not needed to permit moving untithed produce on Shabbos, which is only prohibited as in the Rabban. Rather, it was to show Rabbi Yane that it's permitted to take produce as tithes for produce which has not yet arrived. And pointing with Rav Sheshos was asked, Eda Chorbi Yavama Mahu, what's the din regarding the testimony of a single witness concerning a Yavama? Can Yibum be performed based on testimony that her husband is dead? The Gemara presents both sides of the question. Is the reason we believe one witness to allow a woman to remarry based on the principle that people do not lie about any matter that's likely to be revealed? And if so, here too we believe the witness. Or is the reason we believe one witness is Mishum de'i daika minaspa, because she will investigate carefully before she remarries. But here, there are times that she might be attracted to her brother-in-law, and she might not investigate carefully. Rav Sheshes answered that it can be demonstrated from a case in our Mishnah that the testimony of a single witness requiring her to do Yibum would have been believed if it had not been refuted by a set of two witnesses. The Gemara continues on to the next daf, discussing this topic. All right, so now we go to our Simmer daf Tzadi Gimel, and our standard Simmon is a train chugging along. So here goes. On the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, sat a nervous sharecropper who was delayed in delivering a basket of fruit Erev Shabbos to a rabbi, sitting next to a sad-looking single witness on his way to Beis Din to testify a woman's husband was dead, which would require her to do Yibum. Once again, slow motion. On the train chugging along, that must more on Daf Tzadi Gimel. On the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, which reminds us, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak listed a number of Amoraim and Tanaim who held, based on a chain of tradition that goes back to the generation of Akiva, that Adam Makna Davish Lo Ba'olam, a person can transfer something that has not yet come into the world. Rav Huna ruled that a person can sell the future produce of a date palm to his friend, which Rashi explains is a case where the person made a kinyan during the rainy season in order to acquire the fruit that will emerge in the spring. So, on the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, sat a nervous sharecropper who was delayed in delivering a basket of fruit Erev Shabbos to a rabbi. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings an incident to show that Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Chia both held that Adam Makna Davish Lo Ba'olam. Rabbi Yana had a sharecropper who would bring him a basket of fruit every Erev Shabbos. One day, the sharecropper was delayed and didn't come at the usual time. Rabbi Yana, who was concerned that the sharecropper might not arrive before Shabbos, took fruit from his house as meiser for the fruit that would arrive on Shabbos. He later went and asked Rabbi Chia if he had acted properly, and Rabbi Chia said that he had. So, on the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, sat a nervous sharecropper who was delayed in delivering a basket of fruit Erev Shabbos to a rabbi, sitting next to a sad-looking single witness on his way to Beis Din to testify a woman's husband was dead, which would require her to do Yibum. Which reminds us, Rav Sheshes was asked, Eda Chorbi Yavama Mahu, what is the din regarding the testimony of a single witness concerning a Yavama? Can Yibum be performed based on Eda's that her husband is dead? The Gemara presents both sides of the question. Is the reason we believe one witness to allow a woman to remarry based on the principle that people do not lie about any matter that's likely to be revealed? And if so, here too, we believe the witness. Or is the reason we believe one witness is Mishum de'ihi daika minaspa, because she will investigate carefully before she remarries. But here, there are times that she might be attracted to her brother-in-law. She might not investigate carefully. Rav Sheshes answered that it can be demonstrated from a case in our mission that the aedus of a single witness requiring her to do Yibum would have been believed if it had not been refuted by a set of two witnesses. So once again, on the train chugging along through a field where a farmer was selling the future produce of a date palm to his friend, sat a nervous sharecropper who was delayed in delivering a basket of fruit Erev Shabbos to a rabbi, sitting next to a sad-looking single witness on his way to Beis Din to testify a woman's husband was dead, which would require her to do Yibum. All right, now it's time for four blot back Hazara. Da Pei Tess. So the Simon Da Pei Tess is a chalent pot. So here goes. The woman making chalent in her pot, chalent in a pot, that must be on Da Pei Tess. The woman making chalent in her pot for her single witness when her two husbands ripped up her ksubas, which reminds us, the Mishnah Da Pei Zayin Amud Beis had stated that if a woman got remarried based on the eidus of a single witness that her original husband had died, and then the original husband appears, ain't no ksuba. She has no right to the ksuba payment from either husband. The Gemara explains that the Rabbana enacted a ksuba for a wife, kidei shotei kal be'ina v'hotziya, in order that she may not be easy in his eyes to divorce. But this woman who's committed adultery and became prohibited to her husband, let her be easy in his eyes to divorce. She also has no rights to the other items such as peros, mazonos, and blos because they're tanai ksuba, and tanai ksuba kiksuba dami. A tanai in the ksuba is treated like the ksuba itself. So the woman making chalent in her pot for her single witness when her two husbands ripped up her ksubas was told that the tamei truma she intentionally separated was completely null, which reminds us the Mishnah in Truma stated, Ein tormi mina tamei o hatar. One may not separate truma from produce, which is tamei for produce, that is tahor. If he did a b'shogeg, his truma is considered truma, b'meizid lo asav lo kum. If he did a b'meizid, he has done nothing. The Gemara brings malchokas amarayim regarding what the statement of lo asav lo kum means. Rav Chisda said it means lo asav lo kum kol ikar. He has not done anything at all, for even the measure of tamei produce that he designated as truma reverts back to being tevel. Rav Nassim Rav Oshia said it means lo asav lo kum l'takenes hishirayim. Avo truma habit, he has done nothing to fix the remainder to make it permissible to eat, but what he separated as truma is truma. So the woman making chalent in her pot for her single witness when her two husbands ripped out her ksubas was told that the tamei truma she intentionally separated was completely null, when her son from her first husband suddenly ran in crying that Basin had also declared him a mamzer. Which reminds us, Rava asked Rav Chisda how he can hold that the tamei truma he separated can revert back to tevel. Can there be something that midoraisa is truma, and yet out of concern that the person who separated it might be rebellious, the Rabban removed it from his truma state and returned it to chulin? V'ki Basin masni l'akor davar min haTorah, can Basin stipulate to uproot something from the Torah? Rav Chisda responded that we can learn from our Mishnah that when the woman married a man based on the testimony of a single witness and her original husband reappeared, that the Rabban declared sons from both husbands mamzerim. The son from the first husband is midoraisa legitimate and prohibited to a mamzeris, yet by declaring him a mamzer, the Rabban are permitting him to a mamzeris, which on the Raisa level is prohibited. So we see from here that the Rabban can uproot a Raisa to uphold their decree. Rabbi responded that Shmuel explained concerning this law, Asba Mamzeris, that the child from the first husband is forbidden to a mamzeris. And Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the Mishnah refers to him as a mamzer to prohibit him to a Bas Yisrael with good yichus. Dav Tzadi. So the Simmer Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. That tzedakah box, that must be more in Dav Tzadi. That tzedakah box, which got splattered with tamei blood, that a kohen intentionally threw at the mizbeach, which reminds us, Rav Chisda attempts to prove shebeisin masin lakor davar min haTorah. The beisin has the strength to uproot a Torah law from a case where a kohen intentionally threw tamei blood, where it was taught urhutza, the offering is not accepted, even though midoraisa it is, and this will lead the kohen to bring a second carbon, which is technically chulin, into the azara. The Gemara answers that lo hurtza means that it's not eaten by the kohanim, and suspending that is a shav al tase and is not considered a suspension of Torah law. So the tzedakah box, which got splattered with tamei blood that a kohen intentionally threw at the mizbeach, was taken to a navi bringing a one-time offering on a mountain, which reminds us, Rav Chisda attempts another proof from a braisa taught. The pasuk teaches regarding a true navi, ilav tishma'un, to him shall you listen, which teaches that even if he tells you to transgress one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, as Eliyahu did on Har Carmel, every case, according to the needs of his time, obey him. So we see from here the Torah permits suspending Torah law, even in the form of an active transgression. Rabbi responded that here it's different, but the pasuk says, Elav tishmun, to him shall you listen, referring specifically to a navi. So the tzedakah box, which got splattered with tamei blood that a kohen intentionally threw at the mizbeach, was taken to a navi bringing a one-time offering on a mountain, who told him to bury it next to the lady whose two kohanim husbands didn't become tamei for her. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had said that if a woman's first and second husbands were kohanim, lo zeh v'zeh metamei lan, neither this one or that one may become tamei by coming in contact with the corpse. The Gemara asks from where this is derived, and the answer to the pasuk states regarding who a kohen may become tamei for, ki mo she'ero ha'karovei lav, except for his flesh, who is closest to him, and it was said, she'ero zo ishto, his flesh is a reference to his wife. But it's also written there, a husband among his people should not contaminate himself for one who desecrates him. So we can infer from these two psukim that there's a husband who becomes tamei for his wife when she's a kashera, and there's a husband who does not become tamei for his wife when she's a pasula. And since this woman in our Mishnah is prohibited to her husband, who's a kohen, because of adultery, even when unintentional, he may not become tamei for her. Daf Tzadi Av. So the Simmer Daf Tzadi Av is an exit sign. So here goes. The three lenient rabbis standing under the based in the exit sign. Exit sign? That must be more in Daf Tzadi Aleph. The three lenient rabbis standing under the based in exit sign trying to figure out who agreed with whom, which reminds us, in the Mishnah Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, listing the penalties for a woman who remarried based on the testimony of a single witness whose original husband then reappeared, there are three lenient opinions. Rabbi Yossi said her first husband must pay his ksuba. Rabbi Elazar said the first husband is zoked to what she finds, her earnings, and is able to annul her vows. And Rabbi Shimon said yibum or chalitza by the brother of her first husband exempts her tzar from yibum and chalitza, and her child by the first husband is not a mumzer. On this stuff, Rav Huna said, Basrai modula kamai, kamai la modula basrai. The latter Tanaim agree with the former Tanaim, but the former Tanaim do not agree with the latter Tanaim. So the three lenient rabbis standing under the Basin exit sign, trying to figure out who agreed with whom, overheard a tsara walk out mumbling that she should have waited to see if the Avama was an Islandese. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings numerous challenges to the defense of what could she have done. And in each case, the Gemara answers there is something she should have done. For example, Rav Shimon bar Ashi brought the Mishnah, where one married his Yavama, and her tsar went and married someone. Venim says, Zo, Islandese, and the Yavama turns out to be an Islandese. The tsar must leave her new husband and her Yavam, and she is penalized like the adulteress. Why is she penalized? Let us say, what should she have done? The Gemara answers, Iboy lamtuni. She should have waited before remarrying until she knew with certainty that the Yavama was not an Islandese. So the three lenient rabbis standing under the Basin exit sign, trying to figure out who agreed with whom, overheard a tsara walk out mumbling that she should have waited to see if the Avama was an Islandese, while another woman sighed a breath of relief when she was told, we're not concerned about rumors after her second marriage that her first husband was still alive. Which reminds us, Rav Ashi said regarding a woman who remarried on the basis of single witness, Lokala Lokashinen, but for a mere rumor that the first husband is alive, we're not concerned. The Gemara clarifies that even though Rav Ashi already taught this, that we're not concerned with any rumor about a woman's forbidden status which begins after marriage, Rav Ashi is coming to teach here that since a woman came to Basin for permission to remarry, and we granted her permission, we might have thought that it's considered like a rumor that began before her marriage to her second husband, since coming to Basin for a special dispensation means they consider the possibility their first husband's still alive, and the rumor after the marriage is merely substantiating that earlier concern. Rav Ashi's coming to teach that this is not so. The turtle specialist, that must be one Daf Tzadi Beis. The turtle specialist who was working late because he made a factual mistake about what time the sun would set, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses whether a woman who marries Alpi Basin by the testimony of a single witness and then the original husband reappears, whether she's pater from bringing a chatas because she relied on the hora of Basin, or whether she would be high because Basin made a toast, a mistake. Similar to a Basin rule that the sun had already set and Shabbos was over, and people relied on that ruling and did malacha, and then the sun shone, proving Basin was wrong. Ein zo hara el tos. This is not a case of a wrongful ruling, but simply a mistake. Basin didn't rule the sun had set, rather they made a mistake on the sun's position. So the turtle specialist who was working late because he made a factual mistake about what time the sun would set was interrupted by his assistant who was divorced from her legal husband, which reminds us where Belezim and Masya Darshan the Pasuk that states, Isha Grushma Isha, and nor shall they, referring to the Kohanim, take a marriage of a woman divorced from her husband. This teaches that only a woman divorced from her legal husband is prohibited to a Kohen. But not a woman divorced from a man who is not her husband. So the turtle specialist who was working late because he made a factual mistake about what time the sun would set was interrupted by his assistant who was divorced from her legal husband, who came to inform him that his kedushin to a Yavama wasn't tofes because he was a strange man. Which reminds Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the Kedushin does not take effect with the Yavama to someone other than the Yavam, for it's written, the wife of the deceased shall not be outside to a strange man, which implies, there cannot be any marriage to a stranger for. But Shmuel is suffic, whether the Pasuk teaches Kedushin is not tofes, or perhaps it means that there is a love not to marry another man, but if she did, Kedushin would be tofes. Daf Tzadi Beis, so the Simmer Daf Tzadi Beis is a turtle. So here goes.